Have you ever felt like this world is spinning out of control, with injustice running rampant and no accountability in sight? Well, the Three Angels' Messages of Revelation 14 has breaking news from heaven, saying the hour of His judgment has come. God is not asleep. A final review is underway. And you and I are on the docket. But here's the twist. It's not bad news. It's the best news you've ever heard. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, the first angel proclaims a message that is urgent and global, sent to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And in the heart of this message is a powerful phrase saying, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come." Let that sink in. Not will come, not might come, but has come. Present tense. Right now. This isn't just prophecy, it's a present reality. So what does this mean? What is this judgment? When did it begin? Why does it matter for your life today? Let's explore. Most people think of judgment as something that happens at the end when Jesus returns, or when people stand before God in some distant future. But the Bible paints a different picture. In Daniel 7, the prophet sees a stunning courtroom scene. Thrones are set in place. The Ancient of Days takes his seat. Books are opened. And judgment is passed before the second coming of Christ. This matches the message of the first angel. The hour of his judgment has come. This means that before Jesus returns in glory, a heavenly judgment is already underway, a review of the records of human lives with eternal consequences. This phase is often referred to as the pre-Advent judgment, a judgment before Jesus' second coming, a time when every person's life, past and present, is reviewed before the universe, not to embarrass or shame, but to reveal God's fairness in saving those who trust Him. Now let's clear up a common misconception. Judgment doesn't sound like good news, does it? In a human courtroom, judgment usually means fear, anxiety, uncertainty. But in the Bible, God's judgment is actually a reason to rejoice. Psalm 96, verses 11 and 13 declares, "And let the earth be glad, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with his truth." That's good news if you've ever been wronged. If you've ever seen evil get away with it, if your heart longs for justice and truth, then judgment means vindication. Judgment in Scripture is not God looking for reasons to condemn, but an opportunity for Him to reveal His mercy, His justice, and His love. But wait! If God already knows everything, why does He need a judgment? Great question. God doesn't need a judgment to learn anything. He already knows who are His. But we need the judgment. The angels need the judgment. The unfallen worlds need the judgment. Because ever since Lucifer accused God of being unfair, the universe has had one central question. Can God be trusted? That's what the judgment answers. It reveals that God's decisions about who is saved and who is lost are not arbitrary. They are transparent, consistent, and based on love. The judgment is to show that God has done everything possible to save every soul. This means that every case is handled with perfect justice and perfect grace. So, if the judgment has come, when did it start? The answer lies in prophecy. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, a mysterious time prophecy is given, and it says, "For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." What does it mean that the sanctuary shall be cleansed? Well, once a year on the Day of Atonement, which was a day of judgment and a cleansing of the sanctuary, the people confessed their sins. The animal was sacrificed, which symbolized Christ's sacrificial death, and the blood was sprinkled inside the sanctuary by the high priest. By doing this, the people's sins were symbolically moved into the sanctuary. From there, the high priest transferred those sins to the scapegoat, which was then taken into the wilderness, as described in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. In this way, the sanctuary was cleansed from the accumulated sins that had been symbolically carried there through the blood offered throughout the year. Using the day for a year principle in prophetic interpretation, like in Ezekiel chapter 4 verse 6 and in Numbers 14 verse 34, those 2,300 days represent 2,300 years. The starting point for this time period is found in Daniel chapter 9 verse 25, when the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem is given. And it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times." That decree went out in 457 BC. Count 2,300 years from there, and adjust for there being no year zero, and you arrive at 1844. That's when the heavenly sanctuary entered into its final phase, when Christ, our high priest, began the work of investigative judgment in heaven. So, as Revelation chapter 14 verse 7 says, "The hour of his judgment has come." This isn't guesswork, it's grounded in Bible prophecy. Here's the most comforting truth about the judgment. Jesus is not only your judge, he's your advocate. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 says, "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Jesus is our defense attorney, and he's never lost a case where the person chose to trust him. This is why the judgment is good news. Because Christ doesn't just represent you, he covers you. When you confess your sins, his righteousness is credited to your account. Your name is cleared. Your case is sealed with grace. Jesus is both our intercessor and the one who bore our judgment. In the courtroom of heaven, that's a winning combination. Why does this matter right now? This isn't just theological trivia, it's present truth. Revelation chapter 14 is an end-time message preparing people for Christ's return. The fact that the judgment is already in progress means time is running out. Now is the moment to respond. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14 says, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." That might sound sobering, but it's also motivating because it means your choices matter. Your life matters. What you do today can echo in eternity. How should we live in light of the judgment? If we truly believe that we are living in the hour of judgment, it will affect how we live. We'll take our relationship with God seriously. We'll examine our hearts honestly. We'll cling to Jesus and grow more and more like Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And verse 11 he says, "Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others." New Living Translation Version. This judgment isn't just a call to personal preparation, it's a call to mission, to warn others, to share the gospel, to invite people into the safety of Christ before the door of mercy closes. Let me be clear. If you're in Christ, you don't have to fear the judgment. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." The judgment is not about catching you out. It's about clearing your name through the blood of the Lamb. It's about silencing the accuser with the righteousness of Jesus. The judgment is the final phase in God's plan of redemption, a time when Jesus cleanses not just the heavenly sanctuary, but the record of his people's sins. This is a message of hope, of justice, and of victory. What should you do now? If your heart is stirred today, don't ignore the Spirit's voice. Accept Christ as your Saviour and Advocate. Surrender your life anew to him. Choose to live every day in the light of eternity. Jesus is in the most holy place right now, interceding for you. But that work won't last forever. One day the judgment will close, the cases will be decided, and Christ will return. So now is the time to respond. You don't need to fear the judgment. You just need to know the judge. So let your heart be anchored in Jesus. In the next video, I'll answer the question, what does worship have to do with the first angel's message? At 3ABN Australia Radio, we believe truth still matters. And the first angel's message is truth worth sharing.